Scripture reading will be from Luke chapter 7, verses 29 through 35. When all the people heard him, even the tax collectors justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. And the Lord said, "To what then shall I liken the man of this generation? And what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, saying, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We mourned to you, and you did not weep.' For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine. And you say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is justified by all her children."
Ordinarily, we would have questions and answers next Sunday evening, but I'm not going to be here, and there weren't any questions anyway, except one. And that one was, can you please explain Luke 7:35? All right, well, we have looked at the text that we need, the context, and so now we want to ask, what does this verse mean? But before we answer that, we want to analyze the overall point that Jesus was making in the text, and that is that some, particularly the Pharisees, were implacable. Now, if you don't know this word, this is the word for this evening, so that hopefully you'll remember it when you leave. The word implacable is not in the text, but the concept is. The way Jesus characterizes the Pharisees, they fit the description of the word. Implacable means a refusal to be pleased. A refusal to be pleased. And you can see that in the context. John came to them, and what was their response to John? Why, he lived such an austere life that he did not even eat the common elements that most people did of bread and wine. Oinos, by the way, being the generic word for the fruit of the vine, and maybe either fermented or unfermented. Now, John did not partake of those things, but Jesus came along eating and drinking, eating the bread, drinking the oinos, and they didn't want him either. They didn't accept him either. They said John had a demon because of his unusual diet. Jesus, they accused of being a glutton and a wine bibber. Well, was Jesus actually getting tipsy? No, no more than he was actually becoming a glutton. And no more than John was possessed with a few demons when they accused him of that. These were exaggerations not based on truth or evidence, but the way they saw it and wished to portray it. Ironically, they ignored the evidence concerning who Jesus was and made up these fanciful taunts instead. Even the tax collectors had been baptized, as we see here in the text. But the Pharisees refused to be persuaded by the message of Jesus or his miracles. They were implacable. There was nothing that would satisfy them, nothing that would please them. Now in verse 35, Jesus uses the word wisdom, but wisdom, and this is could be considered a contrast against what he has been talking about. Let's notice again verse 35. Having explained their implacability, Jesus says, But wisdom is justified by all her children. All right, so he uses the word wisdom. What does he refer to here? And what is the message that he's trying to communicate? Well, the book of Proverbs has a great deal to say on the subject of wisdom. And oftentimes it's contrasted with being foolish as well. So let's take a look at some of the characteristics of wisdom, as well as some of the characteristics of foolishness. So let's go back and spend a few minutes in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8, beginning with verse 30, or looking at verse 33, remembering that Proverbs chapter 8 is a praise of wisdom. And in verse 33, we read, "Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it." So a mark of a wise person is to hear instruction. Now, I suppose it would be wise to hear instruction in a lot of different things. Hear instruction on how to perform your job when you're broken in and trained. Hear instruction from your parents. And that is often included in the book of Proverbs. But most of all, hear God's instruction, because by following that, you will be truly wise. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 8 is the next one we want to take a look at. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 8. "The wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall." The wise in heart not only hear instructions, they obey instructions. They are truly wise. Let's take along with that Proverbs 13 and verse 1. "A wise man heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer will not listen to rebuke." So we must hear the instruction, and that means more than just having it rambling around between our ears. It's something that we must pay heed to and follow. Then third, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 16. "A wise man fears and departs from evil." A wise man fears and departs from evil. Fears what? Well, you can fill in a couple of things here if you so chose. First of all, fear God. Going back to the very first chapter of Proverbs, chapter 1 and verse 7, we read, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and understanding." So first of all, we ought to fear God. Who is God? He is our Creator. He created the universe. He created this world. He created us. He created everything in the world. He obviously has power greater than anything we can imagine. Even man, if he accumulated all the power he could and tried to use it for good over the past 6,000 years, could not even begin to put a dent in what God can accomplish. So we must recognize there is one who is great and who has all power, and that is God. Therefore, it is wise to listen to him and to depart from evil. But we might also be thinking about fearing the consequences. If we do and choose those things that are wrong, the Bible teaches us that there are consequences. So we might have at least a couple of motives for fearing. And both are good. Ultimately, the fearing of consequences ends up realizing the reality of hell. And that should be a motivation or almost as much as knowing that God has all power. Because if you know that, then you know that if you are cast into hell, you're not getting out. Ever. There's no appeal at that point. We have plenty of opportunities now, but not then. So, fear is something that the wise consider. Then let's go to Proverbs 15 and verse 31. Proverbs 15:31. The ear that hears the reproof of life will abide among the wise. The ear that hears reproof. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 10 also makes this point. Reproof is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows at a fool. A wise person will hear reproof. Now, people generally don't like to hear rebuke. And they generally do not like to hear reproof. And it's been known to end friendships. By one person saying something to another, they get into such a huff that they won't speak or say anything anymore to that individual. And I know that may sound a little over the top in terms of reaction, but it's been done, and not once or twice. It's been done many times. The wise person, though, hears reproof and rebuke. If we are wrong and the Word of God shows us that we are wrong, if we're fortunate, it may explain why, but it doesn't have to. All it really needs to say is, this is wrong behavior. And if we listen to that, we are truly wise. If we rebel against it, however, we are otherwise. Then let's go to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. Now, don't quote that to me about having short sermons. It won't work. But nevertheless, sometimes the more you say, the worse it gets. In a multitude of words, you can find yourself in trouble. But if you restrain your lips, you are wise. And especially in personal situations, you may really want to tell somebody something. But you find out later you were truly wise in not saying it. Not that it wasn't true, but because of the harm that it might have done and the fact that it may have taken away an opportunity for that person to see the point on their own rather than driving it into them. So he who restrains his lips is wise. And then Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. I don't know that this is winning souls in the sense that we usually think of it, but it is the idea of winning people as opposed to repelling them. So all of these are forms of wisdom that we see in the book of Proverbs. I'm sure there are many, many other things that could be pointed out from the book of Proverbs, but those will give us a basic idea of some of the elements of wisdom that we need to think of. Were the Pharisees wise? No. They did not hear instruction. They did not heed instruction. They departed from moral evil, but not immoral character. they were possessed by jealousy and pride. And so maybe in terms of physical cleanness and moral purity, they were okay there. But when it came to their characters, they were quite defective in acting out of jealousy. In fact, even Pontius Pilate knew that out of envy, they delivered Jesus up to him. He even recognized that. It was so obvious on their part. So, did they receive reproof? Jesus tried several times to reprove them, but they were not taking any rebuke because they were not wise. Far from restraining their lips, they accused Jesus and said evil things against Jesus. No, the Pharisees could not be classified as wise based on these characteristics we've seen from the book of Proverbs. And they did not win souls. They actually discouraged them. Jesus pointed this out in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 25. Matthew 23 and verse 25. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside then may be clean also. So first of all, again, that was their inward character that he was dealing with. But then also, they, when they converted people, made them twofold more a child of hell than they were. Backing up to verse 15. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. So their true character is highlighted throughout Matthew 23, and they were not winning people for God at all. So we have several ways that we realize that the people that Jesus was addressing were not wise people. But now, what does the book of Proverbs teach about fools? What is it that fools do? Well, let's go back there and take a look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 14. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. They are near destruction. And that reminds me of another passage in Matthew chapter 23. This time, verse 33. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Good question. There is no good answer, however, because they were so inwardly corrupt, as we've already noticed. So they were near destruction. The Pharisees of Jesus' day were near destruction because they were foolish and not wise. Well, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 3. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 3. In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. A rod of pride is in their mouth. Do you not see that? As they dealt with Jesus, as they talked with him, you can see that they held him in utter contempt, and that they were full of pride and lifted themselves up as the best people on earth. But they were far from the best. Proverbs 15 and verse 7. Proverbs 15 and verse 7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but But the heart of the fool does not do so. He's not even got his facts right. He can't disperse knowledge, let alone wisdom. And then go back to Proverbs 10 and verse 18. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Whoever spreads slander is a fool. When did that ever happen? How about in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 24? Matthew chapter 12 and verse 24. Jesus had several exchanges with the Pharisees, and I'm guessing if you asked them whether they were wise or foolish, they would have said, oh, we're wise. But let's look. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, that is, could this be the Son of David? They said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. That was slander against Jesus. And who is it that speaks slander? The lips of fools. So once again, I'm sure they would have rated themselves high on the scale of wisdom, but as it turns out, they're high on the foolishness end of the measurement. Let's notice Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. You've undoubtedly run into people with this attitude. Well, that's my opinion, and I think what I think is right. Well, based on what? Well, it doesn't matter. It's right because I think it. That's the way that goes. So he is right in his own eyes. You can try to reprove him. You can try to explain things to him. But there will not be a listening or sympathetic ear, because he is right in his own eyes. And he's not going to listen to rebuke, not going to listen to reproof, not going to listen to the Word of God when it comes right down to it. If the Word of God contradicts what he believes and thinks, that's it. That's it. He's right in his own eyes. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 16. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. You know, some of the most confident people are the ones who have no clue what they're talking about. They are self-confident, though. They are confident that they are right, and it will cause them to rage. How many of those who crucified Jesus does this description fit? They believed that they were right. They were angry. They were enraged and self-confident as they made sure that he was crucified. They were just wrong, but that never even crossed their minds. They raged against Jesus until they procured his crucifixion. That's what foolishness did. And then finally, let's look at Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope of a fool than of him. This is the epitome of those who have this problem. They are wise in their own conceit. And so you can't talk them out of it. You could take somebody who knows next to nothing and teach them more than you can this individual. So then, to summarize those points, a fool is one who speaks slander, has a rod of pride in his mouth, does not disperse knowledge, but is always right in his own eyes. He rages and is self-confident and wise in his own estimation. And these are the people that Jesus was dealing with. They do not have the characteristics of wisdom, but they do have the characteristics of being foolish. And these are the ones to whom Jesus is speaking in Luke 7. They are implacable and they are fools. All right. Well, now we have all that background, so let's go back to Luke chapter 7 and verse 35. Now, what does it mean, what Jesus said to them? Unfortunately, I can think of two meanings, and I like both of them. They both could be correct, and in fact, maybe both of them are correct. It's not impossible for there to be a surface meaning and an ironic meaning, but let's take the apparent meaning first. Jesus is saying that wisdom is justified by all her children. So, how is that to be interpreted? First interpretation. They are fools and implacable. But in contrast to that, genuine wisdom is justified by her children. That is to say, they are fools, and they are implacable, and they don't have wisdom, and their deeds show what they are like, but true wisdom is justified by her children. Now, if you want to something a little more to throw into this, in a parallel passage in Matthew 11:19, some manuscripts have works instead of children. True wisdom is born out by its works, born out by her children. I think both of those are, although expressed differently, are trying to communicate the same point. So you can tell by appropriate deeds that they do if when you see true wisdom. True wisdom, you can tell by what it does, how it behaves, what it says, what it does. And that could be what Jesus is saying. I also think Jesus could be using irony here, and meaning this, that there was no excuse for their implacability, there was no excuse for their foolishness, especially when you consider all the prophecies that pointed to Christ. But such wisdom, as they would call it, is justified by those who think the way they do. In other words, a person wise in his own conceit. He would call that wisdom, and it would be what he thinks that he thinks is right, and therefore he can justify what he thinks in some way or another. So there could be a straight sense or an ironic sense in which Jesus means this. See a man wise in his own conceit, there's more hope of a fool than of him. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26 also deals with the matter of wisdom and foolishness when we read, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely shall be delivered." Well, these people were walking foolishly, but in their minds it was wisdom. And they could justify their actions to themselves. Could they justify it before God? No. So you may prefer one of these to the other. But both of them are true, and both of them make sense. Because people who have the rod of pride in their mouth are going to be able to justify what they do to themselves. They can't justify it before God, but they can justify it before themselves. And by the way, there were a lot of them. They had each other to rely on. Here's this fellow from Galilee, this Jesus, who thinks he's so smart, and some people think that he does miracles, But hey, he didn't come to us. He didn't talk with us. He doesn't have a degree from one of our schools. Who does he think he is? And so they could go back and forth and justify their actions to themselves. Wisdom is justified by all her children. There were a lot of Pharisees that could justify it to themselves. But on the other hand, true wisdom is justified by what you see that shows true wisdom, as we talked about with those characteristics. Whichever sense Jesus meant, what we need to take away is that we should be wise and not foolish. The wise person heeds what God says, and that includes obeying the gospel. The wise person doesn't just hear that he needs to repent, he repents. He doesn't just hear that he needs to be baptized, he is baptized so that his sins can be washed away. He doesn't just hear that he needs to obey all of what Jesus says, he makes his best effort to do that. He doesn't have to try to justify himself. God will do that. All he needs to do is hear and fear God and keep his commandments, and he will be wise and he will be saved. And the deeds that he does will justify the fact that he is living by wisdom. If you have never obeyed the gospel this evening, we certainly want to invite you to do that. And not only will you be saved, you'll be declaring yourself to be wise before all mankind. They may call you foolish, but the declaration is that you are actually wise. If you've already obeyed the gospel and you've not been living according to the precepts of the book, don't become foolish having already shown yourself to be wise. Continue in the wisdom in which you began. If we can help you spiritually this evening, let us know while we stand and while we sing.